Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the questions we'll be discussing today, Monday, February 18th, 2013. How can you prevent government from labeling you a terrorist? Mute it, Al. Mute it. How are gun manufacturers reacting to increased gun control laws? And we're going to be talking a little bit more about Egypt. Are they dying from too many people or too little food? But first, let's get started with today's financial report, which there isn't any because the markets were closed today due to President's Day. Post offices are closed, banks are closed, and all markets are closed. In fact, because I couldn't watch my financial news programs this morning, Al, I watched a program about Bernie Madoff, Weekend at Bernie's, Bernie Madoff, and about the prison that he's in. And it's probably one of the best prisons in the country. They've got pool tables and gym. They play bingo. They do all kinds of things. And, you know, that's what you get when you steal people's money.
Yeah, if you're a rich thief, they put you up in a rich man's prison. Of course, if you're a poor thief, then they put you in the general population of a hellhole that you may not like at all. But it's because they have a natural affinity. People in government have a natural affinity for rich thieves because people in government are endeavoring to be rich thieves. They got the thief part down, and we just watch and see if they get rich doing it or not. Some of them clearly do.
So that's what went on today, but we've been writing orders today. It's been for an off day, a holiday, with not too many people working, and our staff, most of my staff is gone for the day, but I managed to plug through the day today taking orders, and everything will be back to normal tomorrow. So I want to thank everyone for taking advantages of the prices today. And they're taking advantage of the Valentine special. We extended that for those of you who missed the programs because we had some technical difficulties come Wednesday or Thursday. So, but they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. If you have any questions for today's program, you can email us questions@dgscoins.com. That is questions at DGS for discount gold, silver, coins, COINS.com. And it's probably a little bit of a, I don't know how much news we got to go over today. If you have any questions you'd like to ask us, 800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191.
Okay, so what's next, Melody?
Why do you always ask me what's next? What's next, Al? What's next, Al?
Well, I don't know. Next is my nap. It's time for, I'm a senior citizen, it's time for me to take my nap, I guess.
I'll just kind of doze
off here and snooze a little bit. And
well, you know what, you have, we're going to be talking about terrorists and how to prevent a government from labeling you one. And I don't have it right at my fingertips, I printed it out, but I saw an article today, and I don't think this is new news. But it's certainly one that I haven't seen in the circulating for a while, how New York is going to be rounding up those who have mental problems. And I think the part that concerned me about this article was the rounding up words. You know, they're out there. Who gets to decide who these people are?
Exactly.
Who gets to decide, you know, if they're missing their medications? Who gets to decide that they shouldn't be allowed on the streets? And the big question is, where are they taking them?
Well, another big question is, are they going to be looking for people with mental health problems in major industries, within government itself? Or are they only going to be looking for people in the private sector who have alleged mental health problems? And I don't doubt there's people out there, but this whole thing just becomes not even laughable. It's winceable in the sense that it makes you want to wince. How many? We know the jails are already flooded. We know the government is broke. We know they can't afford to do this on a meaningful basis. This is going to be applied selectively. There will be selective prosecution. Someone's going to say, I think you're mentally unbalanced, and they're going to haul you off, and they're not going to haul the next 10 psychopaths who show up. They're going to take you off because you're a little neurotic, maybe. I mean, the whole thing becomes just dangerously. It's like the former Soviet Union. I mean, we used to laugh about it when I was a kid. I don't know that we laughed about it, but we were made aware that the Soviet Union used the pretext of saying this man is mentally ill in order to put critics of government in prison. They just said he was mentally ill. They used mental health as a pretext for jailing people who were simply critical of the government. And now we're doing the same thing in this country. We're going to see this to greater degree even in this country. And all of it has to make people uneasy. I don't know what's going on in New York. You folks in New York, you need to think about what's going on. You're allowing your government to seize way more power than was ever intended and way more power than they can use without abusing that power. And it won't stop unless the people of New York stand up and put an end to it.
They have actually, the city has already drawn up a list of 25 targets. And
25 people?
No, targets. I would they're actually, they don't define what the 25 targets are. It's more than 25 people. I'm assuming 25 different categories of people. That's how I'm thinking up of a compiled most wanted list that they have. Maybe targets are people. I don't know. It doesn't really go into details. But they're going after the most dangerous mental health patients that currently have mental hygiene warrants out for them. But I mean that the talk of rounding up and taking them off the streets is, you know, it's just a sign of what is to come.
Well, you know, I don't know where they're going with this, but it's just evidence the world is beginning to vibrate like that that glass in the old Memorex commercial, is it live or Memorex? And someone sings and hits a high C and the glass vibrates and then it shatters. I don't know what it indicates exactly, other than we are just coming on more and more tension, and sooner or later the glass is going to break. I mean, it's just getting crazier and crazier, and what are you going to do?
And even if it is 25 people, well, they start out with these 25, and then they begin to expand it. Well, that was successful. Nobody said anything. We got away with it. You know, these people are gone. They're locked up or, you know, killed somewhere. Like, hey, you know, health care benefits. We get to choose who gets the care and who doesn't. So they're out of our... Now let's expand that list. And then... the next group of people
expand the list and expand the bureaucracy.
Exactly.
Let's get more money to administer this program. Let's hire another 500 people to work for me. And, of course, we're going to have to increase my pay rate because I've got 500 new investigators looking for people who are mentally ill. And in order to justify their pay and their job, they're going to have to find some people who are mentally ill. I'm not saying that's hard, but I wish they'd look in the state legislature. I wish they'd look in the police department itself. I wish they'd start weeding the nutcases out of government before they try to take them out of the private sector.
So how do we prevent?
How do we prevent what?
How do we prevent them from labeling us as a terrorist, Al?
Well, the answer is a little bit facetious, but here's an article from... I've seen it in two different sources, and I can't, and I cut and paste here, and I didn't put the actual source. I should have done that. I don't have it. But the headline is West Point Cadets Taught Patriots Are Terrorists. Okay? It's a fairly brief article, but it's the sort of thing that you have to approach with a certain amount of care, because it makes me so mad I could start screaming and spitting into the microphone. But the truth of the matter is, the article might be exaggerated. It refers to a study released by the United States Military Academy's Combating Terrorism Center. It's entitled Challengers from the Sidelines, Understanding America's Violent Far Right. And it's authored by a man named Ari Perlinger. Director of Terrorism Studies at the Combating Terrorism Center and Assistant Professor at the Department of Social Sciences at West Point, and who holds membership in the Council of Foreign Relations and the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, as well as being a former instructor at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Now, he's put this study together, and he warns that growing legions of conservative-minded citizens across the United States pose a serious threat to our nation's safety. I wonder what that threat is, and I wonder what he means by our nation. You know, the people in government, I think they're running their own little nation, and I don't believe it's the same one as the rest of us inhabit. And the article continues, it says, yet whom precisely does Perlinger deem as being affiliated with what he labels as the violent far right? In his own words, Perlinger placed a bullseye on those who espouse strong convictions regarding the federal government. Well, I espouse strong convictions regarding the federal government. Believing it to be corrupt and tyrannical. Yeah, that's right. And it's not only me who believes that. It was George Washington who warned against it. Washington said government, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington, President of the United States, said the best you ever get out of government is a dangerous servant. And if you don't watch the SOBs, next thing you know, you'll have a fearful master. You never have a benign government in the estimation of George Washington, first President of the United States. I agree with him. All right? I don't trust the government. I think it's un-American to trust the government. That's an argument I can make later on. I won't get into it right now. But again, Perlinger says those who espouse strong convictions regarding the federal government. I do. Believing it to be corrupt and tyrannical. I do. With a natural tendency to intrude on individuals' civil and constitutional rights, Good grief. Is there anybody out there who doesn't think government has a natural tendency to intrude on our rights? How did we get this monster government we have without government intruding on our rights? They're not giving us more rights. They're giving us less. Bigger government entitles you to be patted down and frisked and, in some instances, sexually molested in the airports of the United States in the name of national security or whatever. I mean, of course they're taking our rights away from us. Everybody understands that. The article continues. It says even more, and again, just get this straight. Perliger's, his definition, he thinks, he puts a bullseye on those who espouse strong convictions. I have strong convictions regarding the federal government. Believe it's corrupt and tyrannical? Absolutely. With a natural tendency to intrude in individuals? Absolutely. I am one of the people that Perliger is placing a bullseye on. Even more specifically, Perliger asserted that the so-called extremists fall into categories of anti-federalists. Yeah, that's me. Fundamentalist Christians. Yeah, that's probably me. Survivalists. Yeah, pretty much. Gun rights advocates. Absolutely. Libertarians. I've run for office as a libertarian. I ran for the Supreme Court of the state of Texas back in 1992 as a libertarian. Pro-lifers. Yeah, I'm pro-lifers. And those who oppose high taxation. This is laughable. This is insane. Everybody opposes high taxation, for God's sake. But recognizing that one of the government's criteria, at least according to Mr. Perliger, for recognizing terrorists is identifying people who object to high taxation. Huh? Who doesn't? You know? But here's the solution if you're concerned about being labeled a terrorist. So how do you keep government from labeling you a terrorist? You support higher taxes. You support bigger government. In fact, when you send your check to Uncle Sam this April 15th, you got that IRS check due? Why don't you throw him an extra $1,000? Nah, make it an extra $5,000 to prove you favor higher taxation and bigger government, and then maybe the government won't label you as a terrorist. They might label you as a natural victim, a weakling, and a fool, but as long as you continue to send more money to Uncle Sam, they won't label you as a terrorist. Where we get a little bit more on the article, not much. Not content with simply fingering these broad-reaching factions, Perliger zeroed in on another favorite globalist target. Some groups are driven by a strong conviction that the American political system and its proxies were hijacked by external forces interested in promoting the New World Order. Well, no kidding. I mean, have you read anything in the news? Have you followed this for any length of time? Of course our government is involved in the New World Order. That jackass G.W. Bush tried to cause the United States border with Mexico to be eliminated to allow free immigration of what are currently still labeled as illegal aliens. He tried to create the North American Union. This is evidence of a new world order. He wanted to combine Canada, United States, and Mexico in a single nation, economy, region. I mean, that's what government does, for God's sake, you know. And here we have professor in West Point who's trying to indoctrinate West Point cadets with the idea that anyone who resists the almighty government is some sort of a terrorist. And that's what this all comes down to. And it's the sort of thing, again, I haven't read Mr. Perliger's report. I can't tell you for a fact what it says. I can't tell you that the article I'm reading from hasn't exaggerated this a little bit. But I'm going to tell you that it all looks dangerous, unwholesome, un-American, and treasonous to me. I'm Alfred Adisk. I have some strong opinions on the federal government. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Do we have a special for the folks today, Melody?
Well, we've been kind of busy today. I didn't plan on having a special today. Every day is a special here at Discount Gold and Silver. They do need to give us a call at 800-375-4188. We have a special guest on Wednesday. We have David Krieger. He will be here Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about the gold market. We're going to eliminate myths, some of those myths that are out there being talked about with various types of gold, and we'll be bringing you the truth, and he's just here to talk about it. And so make sure you tune in on Wednesday. David Krieger will be here. We will be running lots of specials with him here. So folks need to make sure that they tune in.
Okay. All right. So
we got a caller. We got Jim.
Oh, we have a call.
Yeah, Jim from North Carolina.
Jim, the candy man?
Yeah,
is that you, Jim?
Can you hear me?
No, this is Jim.
Hello? This is a different Jim.
Jim from North Carolina. Can you hear us, Jim?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So go ahead. What you got for us?
Well, I wanted to make a couple comments about taxation since you brought it up a minute ago. If you'll give me just a minute to make a couple comments here. In 1913, the average wage was 22 cents an hour. And the exemption for a single person was $4,000. The exemption for a corporation or a married couple was $5,000. Okay, with that in mind, and of course, just about everybody made less than $1,500 a year back in 1913. There was very few people making more than that. As a matter of fact, in 1947, 49%, over 49% of the people in 1947 made less than $3,000. And the average wage at that time, or the minimum wage actually, was 40 cents an hour in 1947. But the point that I want to make concerning taxes is even if they say that people have a zero cost basis in their labor. Of course, most patriots say that you can't tax labor because it's an equal exchange. But even if we agree with the government that there's a zero cost basis in your labor, in 1913, since most people were making less than $1,500 a year, and now the average salary is 20 times that, or approximately $30,000 a year, 20 times $4,000 for a single, or 20 times $5,000 for a joint account, which should be the minimum. There should be an exemption of $80,000 for a single person or $100,000 for a couple.
You're exactly
with
right.
Everything adjusted, if with everything adjusted. So consequently, the government has raised your taxes and is charging you more for taxes, but they haven't raised the exemption. Yeah, and everybody knows that the poverty level is $17,000, the point of the matter is they're taking more money and making you work harder.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I did an article back in the early 1990s explaining that I titled it Big and just talking about big government. I did a little research, and it turned out my dad's total tax burden back in 1950, was about 15% of his gross income. At the time when I did the article, people's tax, their average tax rate was about 45% of their gross income, and that was in the early 1990s. And the point is they'd moved from 15% to 45%, and they are squeezing people and making life more and more difficult so we can support the almighty government, and no one sits back and says, what the hell does government need all that money for? Is it more important to support the government, or is it more important to feed yourself and your family? And the government absolutely assumes the most important thing is to feed the government, and they're saying to heck with you and your kids and your family and what you eat. A couple other points. You mentioned that at one point the average income was 22 cents an hour. And people look back in 1913. But in terms of silver, that was roughly a little over a fifth of an ounce of silver. Today, that would be worth $6, $7 an hour. You understand? In terms of silver. Same thing with the, you mentioned $1,500 a year at one point. For most people, didn't make more than $1,500 a year. And I don't remember, did you say
1913?
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you figure that in terms of, back then, $1,500 a year worth 1,500 silver dollars.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of today's price of silver, you're talking, what, $4,500 a year? If you follow, do you see what I'm saying there, Jim?
I see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And your father was working in 1950, the average, in 1950, over 42% of the people made less than $3,000 a year in 1950.
Yeah. You know, $5 an hour was big money. Big money.
Huh? But it was over 42% of the people were not required to pay taxes. Because this is the point I'm trying to get at. You know, over 42% in 1950 were not required to even think about filing because the exemption started at $4,000 for a single and $5,000 for a couple. You know. It's just crazy. I mean, because it doesn't make sense. If you're making $1,500, let's just say you're right on the border and making $1,500. Most people were making way less than that. But if you're making $1,500 on the border there, and the minimum is $4,000 for a single, that's over three times that. So let's just say in 2012 terms. If the average salary, and you're right on the border, is $30,000, then over three times that would be more than $90,000. You shouldn't have to even think about filing a 1040
or having
any tax paid unless you're making at least $90,000.
And I understand your point, but it does make sense from the government's perspective. And the government's perspective is, to heck with the American people, the important thing is government. From their perspective, this makes perfect sense. Who is the fool?
Well, we have so many people.
Who's the fool, Jim?
What are you going to do?
Who's the fool? Is it the government who imposes these high taxes by hook or by crook, or is it the American people who don't pay attention and stop it? Who's the greater fool?
Well, all of the people who are getting something for nothing off the government teat as such really don't care.
They don't care.
We have to overcome. That's what we have to
overcome.
What
about the people that are earning? What about the people that are making a productive contribution? They're actually earning income in this society right now, and they're helping other people by virtue of their productive efforts. They help other people. Why don't they stand up and, you know, it's why isn't this information generally available? Why aren't people shocked? Why don't they do something about it? Said people,
because
most
they believe what the government propagandists say. They don't believe the truth. They're not looking for the truth. You know,
well,
we're going along to get along. May I mention Phil Hart's book before I get off of here?
Well, go ahead and mention
what I'm talking about. Yeah, Phil Hart, Constitutional Income, do you have any? I've read pretty much every book on and heard every patriot argument there's ever been on taxation. I mean, I've been studying this over 30 years, and Phil Hart has the best explanation using their own congressional record of any book that I've ever read. It's called Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any? By Phil Hart. I suggest everybody, if they have any inkling of want to know about taxation and the history of it and how we got to this point, needs to read that book.
All right. Well, we will thank you for the recommendation, and thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you another time.
God bless you.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. God bless you. What else, Melody?
Oh, let's see. We're going to be talking about, and I believe, too, Al, correct me if I'm wrong, as I'm sure you will. I mean, back in the, 50s, 60s,
yep.
Corporations paid the taxes.
That's right. The majority of the taxes were imposed on the corporations. Now, the majority are imposed on the people.
Yep. And corporations pull more jobs out of this country and move them elsewhere. And they still
get tax breaks.
They still get the tax breaks. So see how it all works so well for us.
Yeah, I know. And it's not just misunderstanding. It's not mistakes. It's not the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a government that is bent and determined, bound and determined to put the people deeper and deeper into poverty. They're not working for your welfare, ladies and gentlemen. They're not working for your benefit. They are working for the greater glory of major corporations, New World Order, global free trade, and if you lose your job, you lose your income, you lose the American dream, there's nobody in government who cares about it. And the reason is because the average American isn't putting any money in the pockets of our beloved congressmen and senators, who have become a pack of treasonous whores. They prostitute themselves every day if the money's right. All right? That's the way they function. They take it for granted. You got to make money off this deal. They don't legislate. They broker laws. They don't write laws. Somebody comes up from a corporation, hands them a law, and says, here's a bunch of money and here's a law. Front this law for them. They say, yeah. If the money's right, they'll do it. They'll front the law. They are brokering legislation rather than actually legislating. They don't sit down and write it. They don't even know what they vote for. It's common knowledge. They've admitted. They don't even read the laws they vote for or against. You know, the whole thing becomes just infuriating. It becomes, you know, it's offensive, and they don't even have enough respect for us to conceal their crimes. You know, it galls me enormously. So in any case, I assume it galls some of the rest of you also. And what else, Melody? Now that we've been galled, what else have we got?
Well, you know, they've been after this definition of what is a terrorist for a long time. I'm Janet Reno. There's discussions that she never said it. There's discussions that she did say it, where she defined pretty much the same lines along this Perlinger. the same criteria.
Yeah. Yeah. The government is essentially saying anyone who doesn't agree with government.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why are they against the fundamentalists? Because the fundamentalists have a system of value that is contrary to that of big government. Why are they against the dissidents? Why are they against people who speak, have strong opinions on the federal government? What does that necessarily mean? It means they stand up and they speak out. Maybe at home, maybe around the dinner table, maybe when they go to a public meeting, maybe on a radio station. That's what strong opinions are. They are opinions that you speak out, and they are implicitly claiming, or at least implying, that anyone who speaks out, who exercises their First Amendment right to speak out, must be some sort of a terrorist. They haven't said that yet, but that's exactly the implication. And for what it's worth, there is a document entitled The Preamble to the Bill of Rights. You can look up, you can go to Google, you look this up for yourself, Preamble to Bill of Rights. You'll find it. It'll come right up. It's provided on some government websites and the rest of it. It's the cover letter that was attached to the first, actually, 13 amendments that were proposed by Congress back in, 1789? And they sent out 13 amendments to the states, and the states ratified 10 amendments, and they became our Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution. The preamble to the Bill of Rights is essentially a cover letter that's explained to the states what the purpose of the Bill of Rights, of what became our Bill of Rights, the purpose of these proposed amendments, what was their purpose? And it says the conventions of a number of states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, the further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. The declaratory and restrictive clauses are the 10 amendments. The purpose of the 10 amendments is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. Now, this is not, what's the purpose of the First Amendment then? The fundamental purpose is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. Who has those powers? Not me. I don't have them. The only people that have the powers under the Constitution are the people in Washington, D.C., the president, the vice president, the Congress, the Senate, the federal judges, even the military. Right? These people, because they work for the government, they are working under the Constitution, they have powers under the Constitution, and the First Amendment was intended to prevent misconstruction or abuse of those powers. And here we have the government coming out and they're saying, ha-ha, people have strong opinions. These are terrorists, baby. And I'm saying, no, we're not. We are the people that are exercising our right under the First Amendment to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution by the only people who can wield those powers, and that is the officers and or employees of the federal government. I don't have any of those powers. Melody doesn't have any powers. You don't have any powers under the Constitution of which I'm aware. Unless you're working for the government, it was intended to protect us against the government. And of course, here is the West Point beginning to indoctrinate young officers with the idea that when they take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, it does not include supporting and defending our First Amendment rights to get on a radio program, to get on a telephone, to get on to write in a blog, to talk in a public setting, to talk around the dinner table in a way that's critical of government. It does not bode well for your liberty, for my liberty, or the future of this nation. Government is moving to become an overt police state, and if we don't stand up and do something about it, every one of us is going to regret it. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what shall we talk about next, Melody?
Well, since we're on patriots and terrorists, let's talk about gun control.
All right, let's talk about gun control. We've got an interesting report, all right, from the Blaze publication. A group of Second Amendment supporting gun makers now refusing to sell arms to law enforcement in New York and other gun restricting states. Huh? So how are gun manufacturers reacting to increased efforts for gun control? They're not just sitting on their butt. Some of these people are saying, oh yeah, you don't want to buy our guns? We won't sell you our guns. How do you like that? We won't sell the guns to government. We won't sell the guns to police officers. All right, you restrict our right to sell to civilians, we will restrict our ability to sell to you within the states. We've got half a dozen, maybe more, Olympic Arms, LaRue Tactical, EFI, that's Extreme Firepower, York Arms, Templar Custom, Cheaper Than Dirt. These have all taken positions where they're essentially saying, look, if you guys are going to put up more gun control laws, guess what? We aren't going to sell any more guns or accessories or whatever to anybody, including law enforcement within that state. Here's one from Olympic. Here's part of what Olympic Arms had to say. It said, due to the passing of this legislation, they're talking about gun control legislation in New York. Olympic Arms would like to announce that the state of New York, any law enforcement departments, law enforcement officers, first responders within the state of New York, and any New York state government entity or employee of such entity will no longer be served as customers. Yeah? You know, the government wants to restrict the right to keep and bear arms. But the government doesn't want to restrict it for its own employees. doesn't want to. They was, oh, well, the government, sure. Well, the government, yeah, they've got to have guns. Why do government needs gun? Why does the government need guns if they're going to pass a law that says you and I can't have guns? Why does government need guns? What is their reason? Why can't they just get by with batons, for example, or maybe tasers or something? Why do they need firearms? And the answer is because government knows very well that even if they outlaw firearms for you, for me, for Melody, they know that the criminals will still have access to firearms. They'll get them. They'll use them. You might not have them. I might not have them. Melody might not have them. But the crooks are still going to have firearms. And the government does not wish to go unarmed against the crooks. They don't mind if you're unarmed. That's too bad for you. They're saying you don't need any guns, but government does. Well, here we have manufacturers saying, look, if you're not going to let the people have guns, we're not going to sell any guns to you either. Let me see if I can find. Here's one from EFI, and they say, we refuse to recognize law enforcement exemptions on gun control. If a product that we manufacture is not legal for a private citizen to own in a jurisdiction, we will not sell that product to law enforcement agency, to a law enforcement agency in that jurisdiction. York Arms, they went out and what did they say? For civilian customers, they said based on the recent legislation in New York, we are prohibited from selling rifles and receivers to residents of New York. We have chosen to extend that prohibition to all governmental agencies associated with and located within New York. As a result, we have halted sales of rifles, short-barreled shotguns, machine guns, and silencers to the New York governmental agencies. It goes on. I'm pleased to see this, all right? I'm pleased to see this. I'm delighted. I am delighted to see that even manufacturers, these aren't necessarily, it would be better if we could see someone like Colt or Smith & Wesson or some of the big manufacturers take a similar stand. But nevertheless, at least some small manufacturers of firearms are saying, look, if you won't let the ordinary people of your state buy our firearms, we aren't selling anything we've got to the government. Now, this is evidence that maybe the government has finally gone too far. Maybe this gun control issue, they may have just got enough people riled where before this is done, the government is going to wish to God it had never started to push gun control legislation again. It remains to be seen how this is going to unfold, but I am delighted to see that some people, and particularly some manufacturers, have enough courage, enough brains to stand up and resist the government. What do you think, Melody?
Absolutely. And again, folks, you know, pick up those phones. We just, you know, if you did it once, do it again. We can't stop. Let our voices be heard. We've got to do it. And, you know, it's interesting now, you know, there's been so many distractions coming in as one right after another, one situation right after another. Come March, we have several other situations that will be attacking our budget and our finances and so forth. So perhaps with that type of distraction becoming more important, you know, maybe they will let it go undercover and ignore their, you know, since this is kind of biting them in the you know what. However, I still believe they're going to try and throw everything at it and hope that something sticks.
And you're talking about throw everything at gun control and hope that some of it works.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, particularly within states. They're pushing it. Colorado, Washington, state of Washington has just passed some idiot, or they're at least, the law has been proposed. I'm not sure if it's been enacted yet in Washington. There are cities and communities that are trying to enact idiotic gun control legislation, but there are other cities and communities and states that are trying to enact legislation that says, you're not going to get in the way of our firearms. We're going to have them. Ha! How do you like that, Obama? They're passing. So we've got a real confrontation going on here. All right, and we'll see how this is going to unfold. But I have a suspicion, before it's done, last time they tried this back in, I think it was, what, 1994? when they had gun control legislation that eliminated assault rifles and high-capacity magazines. They kept it on the books until 2000, for it was there for 10 years, but it was passed primarily by Democrats in 1994, and in 1996, the Democrats were largely run out of office. All right, in the 1996 election, by people who were more and a little bit upset about having their access to firearms restricted. I think government's certainly fearful of that reaction. Whether we see it in the 2014 election remains to be seen. But the way things are going, it's going to be an issue for 2014. They either have to back off, or this is going to be a serious issue in 2014. So stand up. Don't be afraid. Don't let them cow you into surrender without a fight. If you see something you're in favor of, we live in a world where it is incumbent on you to stand up and fight for what you believe is right, because there's more than a few people and forces that would be happy to deprive you of fundamental rights, certainly your wealth. And it's going to continue until we put an end to this abuse by our own government.
And again, folks, you can always go to the NRA website. They break it down per state with the phone numbers and everything that you need, people you need to call. And don't stop at your state. Call other states and keep it going. Call today. Call once a week.
And don't be afraid of expressing a strong opinion about the federal government. Right? We got this jackass at the West Point who's teaching people to believe that anyone who expresses a strong opinion about the federal government may be a terrorist. And the solution to that is not to go silent, but if you have a strong opinion, to get it out there. I subscribe to the John Hancock School of Political Activism. You know, everybody else was putting their names in little letters when they signed the Declaration of Independence. No, a Constitution. And Hancock, he put his name up there in big, bold letters. And he essentially said, that's right, my name is John Hancock. Here I am, King George. Now what? I admire the man. And I think it's the way to approach. You can't let these people scare you. Because the truth is, we hold the power. If we care to use it. But if they can cow you into believing that there's no hope, there's nothing you can do, you better hunker down, you better not say anything, you lost.
Let's see. Next is Egypt, Al.
Okay.
Egypt.
We got any? Go ahead. You want me to go, or you want to go on it?
Go ahead.
All right. We've got an email from one of the listeners. Dan, I think that was his name. Let me look down at the bottom here. Yep. Dean. Excuse me, Dean. And he was somewhat a little critical of what we had to say last Friday when we talked about Egypt and its problem with starvation and so on. And he says, Alfred Addis states that the unrest in Egypt is due to the population being starved. Really? The mobs with iPhones shown on TV appear to be quite well fed. That aside, Al needs a reality check regarding the problems created by vast increase in the population of Egypt and other nations of the world. Now, what Dean is apparently saying here is that the problem is not a food shortage, it's a people increase, right? And what I'm just saying is when I check my own reality, I note that higher populations and starvation are often closely associated. Whether the Egyptians are starving because there's too little food or too many Egyptians are simply two sides of the same coin. You can have starvation up at the North Pole where there's not one Eskimo for 100 miles. That Eskimo can starve if he can't find enough food. It can happen. It's just a question. When population exceeds food resources, people start to starve. And that can happen either because the population is up, and that's what Dean is saying is the real source is an increase in the Egyptian population, or it can happen because the food supply is down. Population hasn't changed, but food supply is down, and therefore people begin to starve. It may be true that some of the Egyptian demonstrators in the Arab Spring of 2011 appeared to be well-fed and had iPhones and thus did not appear to be starved, but the article I was reading from last Friday alleged that 40% of the Egyptian people are living on $2 a day. There's no way that people living on $2 a day are adequately fed. That much poverty must correspond to starvation. Further, if those statistics are correct, I doubt that anyone living on $2 a day appeared well-fed or had an iPhone, unless maybe Obama is also handing out free phones not only to American welfare recipients, but also to the people in Egypt. Now, I'm being a little bit facetious, although this is an important issue. And Dean, he comes back and he says, the now well-fed and medicated Egyptians began replicating at a much higher rate. He's talking about efforts by the United States and United Nations to provide food and education and health care. And the result was to Egypt, right after World War II, and the result was the population grew. Well, yeah, no surprise. So Dean continues and he says, if the Egyptians are now starving, it's because of their dedication to excessive replication. Yeah, well, everybody likes to make babies, or at least go through the action of maybe making babies, and it's human nature. You're not going to get away from that. He's also Dean is also complaining that the world workforce is being diminished by robotics, automation, computer technology, and just-in-time methods in the workplace around the world. And as a result, we have less and less people who have jobs, right? Less people who have the kind of menial jobs that some people are only fit to perform. Now, what's going to happen? I mean, some of us can do intelligent things, and some of us can only do physical labor. Now, what are we going to do with people who don't have enough intelligence to do intelligent things, but they're still here, they still eat? We've got to have some jobs that they're capable of doing on a physical level. And either that or we have to accept the fact that they're just going to live on welfare. And if they do, they're going to reproduce just the way the folks in Egypt reproduced. We are facing difficult problems. We live in interesting times, and they're going to get more interesting. And I don't know that anyone has solutions. But you can see the problems, and again, that Memorex, that analogy to the Memorex commercial keeps coming back to me. I see the glass. I don't see the glass as half empty or half full. I see the glass as vibrating, and I'm wondering if it's going to shatter. We are out of time. Melody, I don't know if you wanted to add something in the last 15 seconds, 10 seconds?
They can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I'll be here for the next 45 minutes, so taking orders, so... You'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sales, and I'll be back on Wednesday.
And in the meantime, may the good Lord bless you folks in the audience, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.